join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
First, we find in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent is cursed. Then we find that the ground is cursed. And now we find a man's life is cursed. And it says, "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a fugitive, a vagabond." The NIV says, "You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." I think prodigals come in all shapes and sizes. I think prodigals can be described, as Scripture does here, as one who lives as a fugitive, a vagabond, or a restless wanderer. Heavenly Father, we pray today, and we ask God that every part of our heart would be given to you in such a way that there would be no part of us that would be a prodigal. That, God, we would bring all of ourself to you. That, God, we would stop running from you, and we would start running towards you. In all of our unholy addictions and unholy affections, oh God, let us be your sons and daughters who not only run towards your love, but embrace this relationship of love. So God, let us learn today as we read your scripture. Now, God, just take that scripture and let it begin to be lived out in us. And we pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. I want to begin by making sure that each and every one of us recognize ourselves in this passage of scripture. I think a lot of people have a tendency to always live in the seat of the victim. That when they read this story, they always read it through the life of Abel. They always see themselves as the one that everybody else is being mean to. Everybody else is the reason why my relationships are such a mess. It's safer to read it that way. It's safer to read it as if you're the one that's always being attacked. That you're fragile, not because you in and of yourself are disobedient, but because everybody has seemed to find an offense with you. And you're always being picked on. That's the safer way to read this passage of Scripture. The more delicate, the more eye-opening way to read this Scripture is to see that each and every one of us have at some point in our life, maybe even in this point of our life, been guilty of living out the role and the person of Cain. That while we have not physically destroyed people, we have emotionally, relationally, and mentally destroyed people. We have lots of people on our Facebook page, but very few in our real life page. Are you breathing? So I want us to read this from both perspectives. I want us to see ourselves as being able to be a Cain. And at the same time, some of us sit here today and we carry wounds from having been Abel. Now, that's their story. Let's look at, or that's your story, that's our story. Let's look at their story. We see here that Cain takes the life of his brother. And as a result, he becomes a restless wanderer on the earth. He becomes a type of prodigal. Cain is now living under the curse of a damaged relationship. And as a result, Scripture says he loses his ability to effectively cultivate the physical, the financial, the spiritual, and the relational ground in his life. I like how the King James Version treats verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." What it means is we kind of work, but we never prosper. We sleep, but we never rest. We eat, but we never get full. And the reason is we have put ourselves socially and relationally in a position that the ground in life cannot yield to us its strength. So we stay in a place that can't truly be blessed or receive the full blessing of God's word. I want to remind you that whenever there is sin, the sinner loses something that is outside their power and ability to regain. Anytime you and I walk in a state of sin and choose not to confess that sin, choose not to allow God to have that sin, we become a type of prodigal. And as a result, the ground in our life is unable to truly yield the strength that God has in our ground and in our life for us to hold in our hands. Now, historically, whenever human beings sin against God, he provides a channel through which fellowship can be reestablished and maintained. That channel is what we've celebrated this morning. That channel is His forgiveness. Every time we practice communion, God is reminding us of His love, of His forgiveness. He used to reestablish and maintain our relationship. It's a call for each and every one of us as prodigals to bring our lives to Him. Sometimes what happens is we get in church, and again, I want to say it a different way. We come to church and we think, well, we're in church now, so we're not prodigals. And yet there are many unsurrendered areas in our life that we keep away from God. We won't give Him this addiction. We won't give Him this affection. We won't give Him this area of our life. And so in that area of our life, we are that person that is a vagabond. We are that person who is a fugitive. We have a place in us that is a type of prodigal. That when the altar call is given, that's where God goes. And if we're not ready to confess our sin, we say in our own way, don't go there. I'm not ready to give you that. I'm not ready to give this up. And can I tell you, it doesn't have to be just drug, sex, and rock and roll to fit the prodigal category. It can be anger. It can be bitterness. In this case, it can even be unforgiveness. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and on his offering. But on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Notice here that it was Cain's disobedience which allowed something, the first fruits of something, into his relationship. First with himself, secondly with the Lord, and finally with his brother. His first fruit was not forgiveness, it was just the opposite. It was unforgiveness. He let something get in his spirit. We all have that ability to get something in our craw, something in our spirit. The longer we hold on to it, the more it grows. The more we see everything in life and everyone in life through it. Look at your neighbor and go, this sounds like it's going to be a very long sermon. Go ahead and tell them right now. Now, you have the ability to interact and make it shorter. You have the ability to interact and make it much shorter. But because you are evil and there is much to be destroyed, both Cain and Abel, they knew what they were supposed to bring. They knew that they were supposed to bring an offering to the Lord. I believe Scripture helps us to see that they knew that there was a difference between a proper and an improper offering. I believe that God's will here wasn't a secret. It wasn't a mystery. They didn't have to guess. It was as plain and clear as the difference between right and wrong. And I arrive at that truth from Genesis chapter 4. Because I believe that's pretty evident in God's response to Cain. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must have rule over it. Scripture's clear about the kind of offering that reestablishes and that maintains, that reaches and that restores the prodigals in our lives, whether they be in our heart or whether they be in our extended family. And that's something, that offering that is very clear to the heart of God is forgiveness. In forgiveness, your relationships have the opportunity to see the heart and the face of God. Forgiveness should be the first fruit in and for all of our relationships. There's all the difference in the world in a marriage in which there's lots of forgiveness that's been given and the marriage where there's not much forgiveness given. There's all the difference in the world in a parent relationship with their children when there's lots of forgiveness given or there's a little forgiveness given. There's all the difference in the world in any relationship you have when there's lots of forgiveness given and there's little forgiveness given. I want you to find three people, and I want you to ask them a very important question. And here's the question. Turn around, look, find three safe people, and here's your question. Why can't people be more like me? On your mark, get set, go. Now, we are laughing, but we're laughing to keep from crying because a lot of us live that way. We read the whole Bible in such a way that we are always the hero. We are never guilty of anything. If it's the story of David and the giant, we're always King David. But ask the people around us and they'll tell us, you're always the giant. We read the story of speaking to the mountain and we're always the one that's casting it into the sea. Talk to those that know us and we're always the mountain of angry.
Party of one, angry. Party of one, your table is now ready.
When we read scripture, I think it's wise for us to recognize that in it is the first fruits of his forgiveness. It begins in Genesis and doesn't stop until the Revelation. It's the thread that weaves itself through all 66 books. It's his forgiveness. It's his forgiveness that came to us as prodigals and said, man, I want to have a relationship with you. It's my first fruit. Before I judge you, before I condemn you, before I slay you, I give to you my love. And sometimes that's the last fruit we give in our relationship. I love you and I slay you in the name of Jesus right now. Now some of us are sitting here thinking, oh, I've heard this sermon before. This isn't a sermon to hear, it's a sermon to live. And can I tell you that as long as you are a human, and most of you are, a few of you maybe not, but the spaceship leaves at about 10:30, so you got 20 minutes before we load you up and send you away. As long as you and I live, there is going to be the constant test of whether or not we're going to give the first fruits of forgiveness in all of our relationships. I want to make an announcement that I've noticed after 50 years of living life, and here it is. We are hard on each other. People are brutal. It's not just traffic where you see road rage. It's at the family reunion that you see road rage. We're brutal. We're unloving. We're unforgiving. And it's usually the last fruit instead of what Christ was, the first fruit. You can't control what anybody else gives to a relationship, but you can control what you give. And that's what Scripture is saying. Scripture is saying unforgiveness is always crouching at the door in your life. Things that could offend you, cause you to lose your swag, cause you to get out of your little bubble. It's always there. It's always trying to take your joy from you. It's always trying to dethrone the peace in your heart. It's always trying to mess your relationships up. So you better get a handle on it. That's what Scripture is saying. Because if you don't, be careful, because you're going to be raising up and raising some Cain. And you're going to be slaying that which is able in your life. Those who are able to be intimate and one and in communion with you in life. You see, some of the most miserable people have everything that life can give them on the outside, but have no relationship on the inside to share it with. I don't want to end our years of ministry and be in my 90s and tell Dina, well, I think it's time for us to retire at Dominion as the senior pastors. I think Clint is now ready after 60 years of training. And as Pastor Clint comes into the office one morning, I don't want to be a bitter 92-year-old man and call him and say, hey, after you get your Medicaid card, come by the church. It's your turn to take over. And arrive at that place in my life and be bitter and angry and hateful towards God and his people. But you don't have to be a preacher to end your days bitter and angry. Because some of us are living our days bitter and angry, and we're blaming everybody else. Do you notice that there's one common denominator in all of your relationships? You. And though the universe does not spin around you, I'm thinking of something my mom and dad used to say, the guilty dog barks first. Is that how it went? Lisa, girl, you know this sermon's for you. Come on, everybody else does. Let's just skip right to the altar call. Richard's been sitting here thinking, man, my prayer and fasting has really paid off. Finally, Lisa gets it. Your life is a reflection of what you invest in it. Your relationships are a reflection of how much of yourself you put into it. And I have learned and continue to learn over and over again that if you don't give the first fruits of forgiveness to people, it's going to hurt you a whole lot more than it's going to hurt them. You're going to end up and you're going to be miserable with your life. And your ground will never really abundantly yield what God put into it. God has this way of favoring those who walk in a spirit of forgiveness. You can power up. You can be ugly. You can get up in the middle of my sermon and walk out and go serve in the children's department as leaders. Thank you very much. I'm cutting them down fast because I keep making fun of them when they leave. You can do that. You can act horrible in your relationships. You can be moody. You can be mean. And you can be controlling. And as you choose those things to be what put your relationships together, don't be surprised when you are on an episode in life of Survivor. Don't be surprised one day when you wake up and everyone has voted to move off your island. You didn't even have to vote them off. You didn't even have to go to tribal council. They went and said, pick me, pick me. When the Lord could have voted us off, when God, the perfect one, could have given any other thing as a first fruit that would express his desire to be in a relationship with us, he chose forgiveness. He could have chosen anything else to express his love, his desire to be in a relationship with you. What did he choose? His child, his only begotten son, whose name is Jesus. He doesn't just call us to lead with forgiveness. He led with forgiveness. Isaiah wrote and said this, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. In Luke chapter 23, we see in verse 33, when they came to a place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals and or the prodigals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Sometimes, friend, that's the only thing you can control in a relationship. You can't control them, but you can control you. And you can take a step of faith. It's probably going to be one of the greatest steps of faith that you ever take. The greatest steps of faith aren't always in an altar on Sunday mornings. They're when the altar gets in your behavior on Monday mornings. And people begin to hurt you in such a way that you feel like Abel. And people are raising Cain around you. You can simply stop yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to have an out-of-body experience. I'm going to get in the Spirit. And I'm going to say to them by faith, according to God's word and power, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the step of faith that God measures us by. In Psalms 103, we see, beginning in verse 8, that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's slow to get angry, and he's filled with unfailing love. I so appreciated Pastor Clint coming, and after a very difficult week in his life, he still knew what the Father's love looked like and felt like, and he encouraged us and led us to just stand in that presence of his love, because there is the fullness of his joy. And all of us were strengthened. Verse 9 says, he will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. No, that was my earthly dad. That's the kind of home I grew up in, with a dad that constantly accused me and was always angry forever. And then when he truly got baptized in the first fruit of forgiveness, God's forgiveness, he became a completely different man. And I tell my kids all the time, I am so glad you get to see my dad finish strong, because I lived under a dad who was headed wrong. Verse 10 says, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. No, we do that to each other. Stop me if I get out of. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. I found that there are times that I feel less than tender and less than compassionate. And I have to go to the Lord and tell him, now look, this is bigger than my ability to be tender, forgiving, and compassionate. So I am going to have a come to Jesus meeting, and this time Jesus gets to come. Lord, help me. This feels like a crucifixion to me. People, they're taking their words and they're using them like spikes, and they're nailing me to the cross in their life. And man, God, they're accusing me, and they're condemning me, and they're judging me, and they're criticizing me. You know what this feels like, because not only are you a heavenly Father, you're my great high priest. You've identified with this. So, Lord, when it's too much for me, I know it's not too much for you. So, Lord, I'm going to come have my cry time and my why time with you, and I'm going to let your love and your tenderness and your compassion and your forgiveness wash my wound and sew it up, so when I get out there, I don't blow them up. I finish my introduction by taking a look at what the offering looks like. Not a financial offering, but a spiritual offering. What does the spiritual offering of the first fruits of forgiveness look like in our life? Because here's the thing that forgiveness does. Forgiveness draws hope, and it draws help to that relationship. So you are drawing God's hope and help to whatever relationship is in trouble. Remember, you can't control the other party, but you can control your part in this party. Now, some of you are too young to know what I'm talking about, but back in the day, I lived out in a little country town by the name of Flora Vista. And back in the day, you didn't have private lines. You had something called party lines. And they were exciting because you didn't have to turn on the TV for a soap opera. You just had to sneak your way onto the line and listen to somebody else's calls. Man, I was prophetic, and people were wondering, how does he know this stuff? The party line. And I would get on, and I would listen to people. And man, people would just go off on each other. And sometimes, friend, if we're not careful, we'll use the phone. We'll use social media. Can I tell some of you, stay off the Facebook. Amen. I look at what people post, and I'm like, oh my goodness. It's one thing to feel that. It's another to walk through it, and it's still a whole nother to post it. I thought you were a Christian. Amen. They're not contenders, they're pretenders. So I'm talking about the party line. I'm talking about how there are times that you and I get in a network, a party line, so to speak, and there's all this stuff going on. There's all these accusations going back and forth, and there's all this gossip up in the air. You cannot control their part in the party, but you can, through forgiveness, begin to usher in, move to that relationship, God's hope and God's help with forgiveness. Matthew says in chapter 5, therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. You're releasing God's hope. You're releasing God's help. I want to go back to Cain and Abel's story, and I ask some questions of myself that I want to ask you. The first question is, did Abel even know that his brother Cain carried that kind of offense and resentment in his heart, the kind that would eventually cost him his life? Abel was judged harshly for doing the right thing by the person doing the wrong thing. And yet the person doing the wrong thing justified it and called it the right thing. Luke says in chapter 6, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Mark 11 says in verse 22, have faith in God. Well, what does faith look like? Faith many, many times looks like giving relationships forgiveness, giving people the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes, friend, you and I let the way somebody does something differently than us get in between us. And we gripe at people and criticize people because they did it a different way. They like something different. I've learned that as the pastor of this church, the more I celebrate and the more I create diversity, the more God loves this congregation. Did you know that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross just for us Hispanics? Talk about diversity. He died on the cross for every color, for every class, for every creed, and for every culture. It's you and I that draw lines. Because somebody doesn't look the way we think they should look, because somebody doesn't act the way we think they should act, because somebody doesn't dress the way we think they should dress, because somebody has worse habits in our eyes than our habits, and somebody has worse addictions than our addictions, suddenly we're booting them out of the church. We're judging, condemning, and criticizing them. But those are the very prodigals that Jesus says, I'm still not giving up on you. I know your addiction. I know you're jacked up. I know you're messed up. I know your color. I know your background. I know where you've been, but I'm your father, and I am still here loudly screaming, I want to have a relationship with you, and I will come to you when you can't come to me. So here's where we're going to pray and then go home. Some of you are going to need two scoops of today's message, so you're going to come back second service, aren't you? Malachi chapter 4 says, in verse 5, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. This very spirit, he will turn, this spirit of Elijah will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. And Ephesians says that you and I can begin to create an environment for all of that happening. It says to get rid of, in chapter 4 and verse 31, of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, now there's a thought. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Would you just stand to your feet this morning? And would you recognize that you don't have to be away from church, away from your family to be a prodigal? That there can be certain parts of your heart that are truly not in relationship with God. That you can even sit through a communion service and have a communion time with the Lord and still keep parts of your heart from Him. And in that place in your life, you are a prodigal. I think this all begins, this entire month of Wednesday sermons and times of worship and times in the altars praying for the prodigals. I think it's going to be a month of restoration, but it all begins right here in the privacy of each one of our hearts. I'm going to ask you to go private with your prayer and then public with your faith. I'm going to give you just about 60 seconds in a moment to privately ask the Lord for his forgiveness, for every prodigal place in your life. And then I want you to go to every place in your life and call every person's name that the Lord brings to mind that you hold unforgiveness towards. I want you to call them by name, and I want you to forgive them for whatever has left a wound in your heart. First, we're going to go private. Then, we're going to leave here and go public. And publicly, we're going to begin to live in such a way that we give everyone, including ourselves, the first fruits of forgiveness. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I am going to ask you to engage your hearts. Take the next 60 seconds and quietly ask for forgiveness. Now that you've received forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness, now give that gift of forgiveness. Take the next 30 seconds and give that gift of forgiveness to each and every person in your life that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. And everybody prayed and said, as Pastor John comes to speak the blessing over us this morning, it's my desire for us to be in the private place, to become altars in the private place that we might see opportunities in the public place. I believe this blessing on the heels of forgiveness moves us back to the place that God can truly bless the ground we stand on. And so I'm going to take this blessing personally today. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you to know God's extravagant love, to realize He's thinking of you constantly. May you have strength and grace to fulfill His plan and His purpose. Put your trust in Him and succeed, for He has said, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. May you have confidence in prayer as you find your place in His sanctuary and boldly enter the throne of grace. May you be filled with renewed joy. May all the trials and discouragement of this past season and any hope deferred be gone from you. I declare you're a child of the King and have been given the resources of heaven to broker the kingdom of God in the earth. Declare, as for you and your house, we will serve the Lord. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. May God have mercy on you and be gracious to you. I bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you all.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.